Started the Teraway in Northwest London, Thursday, 16th of Adar Rishon, 17th of February, Rabbi Yitzchak Shochet Shlita, Marbe Besimcha, How to Achieve It. This week's Teraway has been sponsored by Refuah Shleima of Avinoam ben Etta Vichna Neri Yoer, Sheyizkeh Refuah Shleima B'Korah B'Sosh Or Chole Yisrael, Amen.
The Gemara in Tanis, Yav Kopeis, tells the story of Rav Breka. Very famous story. He found himself standing in the middle of a marketplace together with Eliyahu HaNavi. And at a certain point, he sees people walking along and he's reflecting upon their various different statures. Some are more astute looking, some maybe a little bit more boorish, etc. And he asks Eliyahu HaNavi, Iko Bahai Shukwa Bar Al Modiyasi. Is there anyone in this marketplace who's worthy and deserving of going straight to Olam Haba? It was an eclectic mix. And Rav Breika wanted to know if there was anyone unique and anyone extraordinary amongst them. And Eliyahu HaNavi responded by pointing out two brothers who were walking along. Whereupon Rav Breika became very excited and he leaves Eliyahu HaNavi. Here's a rare opportunity to encounter two very special, lofty individuals. What was their uniqueness, he wondered. So he goes immediately running after these two brothers and he asks them, he says, Rabbi, gentlemen, forgive me for intruding like this. Can I ask you, what is it that you do? What is your profession? And they replied, and they said, we're jesters. And we cheer up those people who might otherwise be sad. And the Gemara continues, another version, maybe if we see two people in a quarrel, in Machlekes, again, we use humor to establish shalom, peace between them. So right here, in this Gemara, at face value, we see the power of Simcha. These men, whom for all we might know, to all other intent and purposes, are simple in every other way, but they made it their life's mission. They made it their primary preoccupation to make other people happy. And inasmuch as the Mishnah famously tells us, Kol Yisrael Yesh Lam Chelek L'Olam Haba, everybody of Klal Yisrael will go to Olam Haba, has a share in Olam Haba, which nevertheless might require some process before we get there, these two are guaranteed immediate entry. Why? Because of what they said, because of the power of Simcha. But the Baal Shem Tov was puzzled with the story, as simple as it might be. I mean, couldn't quite grasp what is the understanding of these two jesters and the significance of the fact that they're Batkonim, what is the deeper message the Gemara is looking to convey, and this is what he said. He said, these two jesters were taka, nistarim. They were righteous people. They were more hidden. And they were able to encounter other people. And whenever they did, they were always able to connect the neshama of that person to their shayrish, to their source and root up above. Such that if there was, chas v'shalom, a negative gezerah, a negative decree hovering over that particular person, as they were able, through making that connection, annul that gezerah, annul that decree. But if they encountered somebody who was ba'atzvos, if they encountered somebody who was otherwise depressed, then they couldn't make that connection. And as the Baal Shem Tov pointed out, Shechinta lo yisharya, the Shechinta does not rest upon somebody who is in a state of sorrow, rather only when in a state of simcha shel mitzvah. The Rambam says, lahalacha, in Hilchos Yosei HaTorah Perek Zayin, that a Navi who desires Nevuah would have music played in order to reach a level of Simcha upon which then the Shechinah would be able to rest. And so too in our story. The sadness was an absolute obstacle. It was a brick wall. And these jesters, therefore, would then have to look to cheer that person up to remove that obstacle and thereby establish the necessary connections to their sheirish to achieve their objective with up above. Rav Aaron of Kalin very famously said, Atzvos, sadness in itself, is not a sin, is not an avera. It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah you shouldn't be depressed. But what it can lead to, chas v'shalom, is worse than what any avera can lead to. In other words, sadness is not an avera. But it is an undeniable impediment. It's a brick wall obstructing the otherwise inherent brachas in our lives. Not just in a ruchniyistic sense, like in the story in the Gemara and Tainus, but every bit in the practical sense as well. Because in as much as there are brachas, there are blessings in all of our lives. Nevertheless, if we allow for the atzvos, for the sadness to override and consume us so greatly, then we end up becoming oblivious. We end up ignoring the brachas, become somewhat completely unaware of what's going on. So the brachas never really disappear. We just mask over them with our own doom and gloom attitude. And then it becomes a formidable challenge in that state of mind to rediscover them. And that sometimes can take us to places where even the worst of averas can't take us, chas v'shalom. On every Yom Tov, the Kahanim come here, mount the Duchen, in front of the Aron HaKadosh, in order to recite Birchas Kahanim. Why Dafka on Yom Tov? As we know, because there's a mitzvah, v'samachto v'chagecha. You have to be happy on a Yom Tov. During a Yom Tov, when we are in a better frame of mind, in a happier disposition, that's what makes us more susceptible to receiving the brachas. So by definition, simcha and bracha, they are directly correlated. You cannot properly experience one without the other. One very famous place where that's emphasized most is in Parshas Kisove. Parshas Kisove, we know, enumerates 98 klolos that could befall a person, chas v'shalom. It's always read 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah to give us a reality check, etc. The question to consider is, for what? What offense or offenses could warrant such extreme consequences of 98 curses, 98 klolos? And curiously, we know the Torah doesn't mention any specific avera, but there's the very famous vart of the Arizal, who zeroes in on the one pasuk in the midst of all of that. It says simply, Tachas asher lo yavadato as Hashem alekecho v'simcha uv'tuv leva. You didn't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with simcha and with gladness of heart. In simple terms, you're an erlich yid. You're a tzmimistik yid. You do your thing, whatever that might be. You give your tzedakah, you learn your daf yomi, you go to minyan 3 times a day, etc. But you're not b'simcha b'tuv leva. You have a restless heart. You're not properly at peace with yourself, and you never stop long enough to appreciate the brachas, to simply smell the roses. You do what you have to do, whether in life in general or in your Yiddishkeit in particular, but it's routine. You're not enjoying it. There's no simcha sachayim, there's no simcha shel mitzvah, there's no tuv leba. Hence, Chassidus very famously points out that these are not really curses. They're brachas in disguise. And that's really the point. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't issue curses. The frustration, the disgruntlement that you feel in life is often entirely of your own doing, of your own creation. Your self-imposed discontentedness blocks the arteries leading to a happy heart. And as such, if you're unhappy, you're never going to see the bigger picture in life. You're going to ignore the inherent brachas, and then everything will be perceived and seen and experienced in a negative context. The brachas are there, but you're not happy. You don't see them. You're consumed with the negativity, and frankly, that's a curse. Why is it that somebody could be walking around, burdened by life, and they maybe had a kiddush, or whatever other simcha, they have a l'chaim or two, and in the moment they're happy? Because inherently, we are all, and intuitively, we're all meant to be b'simcha. My neshama is a chelek aleka. It's an extension of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. How can it not be happy? My neshama sees the implicit brachas in everything. Only life masks over it, sometimes with many layers, undeniably because of atzas hayetzer, such that all we see is the bad, the negative, my supposed bad luck. So saying l'chaim, nichnas yayin yatz asayit, it brings out your true essence. It enables you to transcend that, even if only for the moment. It exposes the truth, the emes, the deeper reality within. And by the way, we spoke about 98 klolos. L'chaim is gematria 98. It's no coincidence. You can turn it all around. You just got to figure out how to unleash the true essence, the true you. And what's the one time that we have a particular mitzvah to be besimcha, and indeed to drink l'chaim? Of course, on Purim. The way that is expressed in Halacha says, drink l'chaim ad delo yada. Now, at face value, obviously meaning until you are in some kind of stupor. But looking at it differently, drinking l'chaim ad delo yada, what is it that drags us down? Our yada, our das, our thinking process, overanalyzing, overthinking. Ad deloy yada, when you're saying l'chaim, then you're no longer lo yada, you're no longer thinking, you're no longer overanalyzing, you're no longer getting all burdened with whatever's going through your mind, and then your neshama can really shine through. I'm not advocating drinking over here, I'm making the point of how the thinking process impacts your reality. And if you think a little less and you embrace a little bit more bitachin, then you'll feel more besimcha. There's a very profound, deep, and fundamental teaching of the Maggid of Mizrich. He says the following. In Tehillim, there's a pasuk, which we say every Yom Tif when the Aron HaKodesh is open in the extra Rebbeinu Shel Olam, V'abateach Ba'Hashem, Chesed Yisrael Rebbeinu. You trust in the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, and Chesed Yisrael Rebbeinu. You'll be encompassed, you'll be surrounded by Chesed, by HaKodesh Baruch Hu's kindness. What exactly does that mean? B'mokem Shemachshavei Shel Adam Shamhu. There, where your machshava, where your mind is at, where your thoughts are at, that's where you are. In simple terms, your mental state, if you will, impacts your physical. Or more precisely, your state of mind impacts your reality. Or as the Zohar actually famously says, ha-machshava hi ha-adam, ha-adam hu ha-machshava. The human being and his thoughts are identical. You are what you think, and what you think determines what you are. And therefore, wherever your mind is, wherever your thoughts are, that's where you are. Wherever you place your thoughts and your mind, that is where you've taken yourself. And therefore, habayteach b'Hashem, if somebody puts his bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he thinks to himself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there, he's bayra eilam, he's zan mafarnes hasakol, he provides everything, and he's looking after me and he cares about me. When you absorb that reality, those thoughts, as per the pasuk, then Chesed Yisrael Avenu, you will be invariably surrounded and encompassed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Chesed. If you put your emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kabiyachol puts his emuna, puts his faith in you. If you believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu got you to it, then he'll get you through it, and that's exactly how it happens for you. But here's the catch. Because if it works like that in the positive, it can work like that Chas V'Sholem in the negative as well. It's a pasuk in Yeshaya. Mugureisam avi lahem. That which they are afraid of, that I shall bring upon them. If a person spends a lifetime being afraid, thinking, oy vey, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, etc., guess what? Those negative thoughts itself, as per the pasuk, avi lahem, can chas v'sholem bring that upon you. The very things that you were afraid of, they were not necessarily intended to come upon you. They weren't in the program, as it were, but the fact that you were so afraid, lacked your bitachon, and put your mind into that, you create that negative potential, chas v'sholem. You know, in the aforementioned Gemara and Tainus with which we began, in the story of our breakup, the mashal there brings down, rather short and cryptically, the Mishnah in Sanhedrin. Kalani Mireishi, Kalani Mizrayi. When we're suffering, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kavi Yochel is suffering as well. And bringing that down in the context of the story of our breakup to bring out the implication to the flip side, that therefore when we are happy, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happy Kavi Yochel as well, and that's how we access the brachos in life. In Tanakh, there's a famous story of Yecheskel Onovi, right, who saw the Merkava, as described in detail in the first pasuk of Yecheskel. And in one of his descriptions, he actually says, "Val dmus hakise dus dmus kmara adam olav mamayla." I saw the kise hakavod, the heavenly throne, and on this kise hakavod, I saw like the image of a human being, of an adam sitting upon it. Says the Maggid, on this very heavenly throne, on this kise hakavod, I saw the image of a human being, like the image of a human being, so it will be upon him from the Kiseh HaKavod up above. Meaning that the way we show ourselves down here below is how the response comes again from Shemayim. When we are happy and when we are smiling, then guess what? Then Kabayachal, you're making HaKadosh Baruch Hu smile as well. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is smiling, then of course it means when a person is happy, they're happy to give. And you receive all those wonderful brachas. It generates continued reasons for you to be able to continue feeling happy. If, on the other hand, as we mentioned before, the Pasuk in Yeshaya, you're walking around with feelings and sad and whatever else besides. And again, Kalani Mireishi, Chas V'Sholom, you're making the Eivishter Kamiyachal sad as well. And when somebody's sad, they're not in the mood of giving. They're not interested in giving. So whatever comes from above is in your hands. Per the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos is Da Mal Lamaila Mimach. Know that whatever is Mamaila, whatever comes from above, Mimach U'Bukha Dover Tole, it comes from you. It depends on you, it depends on the way you conduct yourself, the way you show yourself, the way that things will be shown to you. That, Rabbi Say, is the Simcha recipe. Which brings us to Adar, because there are 2 months, we know in particular, that stand out, in which Halacha gives us a categorical directive by way we're supposed to conduct ourselves. Adar, of course, constitutes the happiest time in the Jewish calendar because of Purim. Hence, the Gemara says, Mishenichnas Adar, Marvim B'Simcha. And the other time is off because of the Churban Bayis. Gemara tells us, Mishenichnas Av, Mimatin B'Simcha. The question is, why the Gemara expresses itself, and Halacha expresses itself, in the way of comparing the two together. Because it says, Kashem Mishenichnas Av, Mimatin B'Simcha, just like when Av comes in, you have to diminish in joy. Kach Mishenichnas Adar, Marvim B'Simcha, so too when Adar comes in, you have to increase in Simcha. What? Av is one thing, Adar is another thing. They're not connected in any way. This is because of a Churban Bayis. This is because of the story of Purim. Here you're supposed to be sad, here you're supposed to be happy. What's Kashem Kach? Just like here, so too there. As though there's a correlation between the two. The Gemara is linking them together. Why? So on one level, what we have to consider is this. In the month of Adar, we're being instructed not to be b'simcha, but marvin b'simcha, to increase in simcha. Similarly enough, we're not being told to be sad, rather mematin b'simcha, to decrease somewhat in the simcha with the specific directives that Halacha gives us. And there is the interesting point. When it tells us regarding of mematin b'simcha, so it tells us very specifically how to do so, how to minimize somewhat certain restrictions that we have imposed upon us. When it tells us an Adar Marvim B'Simcha, it doesn't tell you how to do that. And the key point here is this, the connection between the two is, Simcha is the default position. That's the starting point no matter what. You always have to be in a state of Simcha. Only that an Adar, because of circumstances, Purim, etc., Marvim B'Simcha, you have to increase even more so. And in Av, because of circumstances, Mematim B'Simcha, you have to diminish somewhat. Again, with specific formula. Not to walk around sad, but diminish in certain things. But Simcha itself remains the default position regardless and throughout. And that's the connection between the two. Hence the famous verse, the Shenichnas of Mematin, when Ma'av comes in, Mematin, we can diminish the negativity associated with it, B'Simcha Dafka, by being happy. And the bottom line is this, there are circumstances that we confront daily, whether in our home life, whether in our workplace, or wherever else besides, there are other moments in our lives, and there can be chas v'sholom of moments in our lives. But we are the makers of our own reality. And the precise mindset, whether simcha or otherwise, is what's going to make all the difference. So what's the secret? What's the key in maintaining this simcha? How does a person strive to be b'simcha? Well, Adar is before Purim a little, it's just after Purim, Kodesh, Purim Katan. So, Milso Dibidichusa. There was a plane that was en route from JFK to Heathrow, and at a certain point the pilot makes an announcement. He says, ladies and gentlemen, due to weather conditions, we're going to be landing in Manchester instead. There's a chassid sitting on the plane. He takes out his Tehillim and he starts to dub. A few moments later, the pilot announces, says, ladies and gentlemen, I'm pleased to say the weather has cleared up and we're going to be landing in Heathrow after all. And a stewardess goes over to the chassid and she says, look, I'm not a believer, but I saw what you did over there, and I'm really impressed. He says, I'm glad you're impressed. I live in Manchester. When a human being is aware of Hashgacha Elyona, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is watching over me, and Teva HaTov LaHeitiv, he has obviously our best interest at heart, and therefore I put my emunah and I put my bitachon in Hashem, then I have a different perspective in life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching over me at this juncture, during this problem, in the face of this test, confronting this nisayon. And you change your outlook, you have a completely different perception. In fact, every Shabbos and Yom Tov, we say from Tehillim, quoting David HaMelech, Samachti ba'emrim li beis Hashem nelech. David HaMelech famously said, I'm rejoicing, I'm besimcha, when they're saying to me, Beis Hashem Nelech, they were going to Beis Hashem. We're going to the house of Hashem. So what exactly is David HaMelech referring to? What's going them going to the house of Hashem have to do with him? And why would that make him happy? And besides, Beis Hashem refers to the Beis HaMikdash. So what do they mean saying we're going to the Beis HaMikdash? There was no Beis HaMikdash yet. That was reserved for Shlomo HaMelech. Says the Yalkut Shemayni. Yes, Beis Hashem actually refers to the Beis HaMikdash. And he goes on to explain as to why they're making reference to this, even though it hadn't been built yet, is because they were looking to deliberately torment David HaMelech, knowing as they did that he really wanted to be able to build a Beis HaMikdash, but being an Ish Melchama, he wasn't able to. So therefore, they looked to torment him. And they used to say, Beis Hashem Nelech, we're going up to the Beis HaMikdash, to kind of rub salt into the wound, as it were. So, why is he happy? You would expect him to be hurt. You'd expect him to be upset, offended by this. And yet, far from being angered, David HaMelech says, Samachti, I'm happy. Because whatever their malicious intent, at least it means that the Beis HaMikdash is on their minds. Which, if nothing else, reflects a subconscious yearning for it to be built. And that in itself will ensure that it will be built. The instinctive response would have been to a negative one. They are exposing a wound in his heart, but he sees the silver lining. He looked beneath the superficial exterior of the concern at hand and saw the implicit bracha with it. Same reality, completely different perspective. And the point is that we tend to think that emotions are simply what we feel. We don't choose our likes or our dislikes. We don't choose our resentments or our joys. They catch us and they hold us helpless in their grip. So we conclude we can't help feeling what we feel. We're at the mercy of external events. But David HaMelech in this pasuk suggests something profoundly different. What we feel is largely determined by our own frame of mind, what we think, how we interpret the events and how we react to them. So Machti Ba'emimli, I am going to rejoice even as they're saying this to me. That's something that is completely under our control. There's a story told about a certain chassid called Reb Zalman Aaron. Who was it? Because chassid, but he was also an astute businessman. And on one occasion, a deal went very bad and he lost a huge fortune. And many of his colleagues came to see him, to console him, and they find him sitting in the Beis HaMedrash, and he's smiling and he's singing and he's learning a geshmaka piece of Gemara. And they looked at him and they say, my, hi, how could you be in this kind of frame of mind for that? And he looked at the first one, he said, and tell me, how would you react? He says, what do you mean? After that, I would have a nervous breakdown. Looks to the other and goes, and you? He goes, me, I'd be crying bitterly throughout. So he says, let me ask you a question. In 10 years' time, would you still be having a nervous breakdown? Would you still be crying your eyes out? They said, no. By then we'll have moved past it. Only, of course, it'll have been just nothing more than a bitter memory. So he says, I'm just like you. I'm only 10 years ahead. We all have matters of concern, whatever it might be. And we have things that we could be grateful for. Yes, things do happen. Things don't always go to plan, but to worry, to be depressed, that's never helped anybody. Hence the point of David HaMelech, of the Psukim that we cited, the Gemara, etc., to replace the negative thoughts with positive ones. Fast forward a little bit. The Gemara in Shabbos tells the story about Rabba. The Kamad Pasuk before Rabba opened up teaching his Talmidim, Pasuk Lohu B'Milsa D'Vidichusa. He would always open up with a light anecdote. And as Rashi notes over there, Niftach Libam Machmas HaSimcha. The idea of him telling that Milso Debidi Chusa was so that, by telling a light anecdote, it would open up their minds, their hearts, and they would, as a result of the Simcha, and then they would be more susceptible to be able to absorb whatever he's going to. It relaxes the heart, it opens the mind, it broadens horizons. When you are in a state of Simcha, you function better, you absorb better, you think better. Simcha penetrates geder. Simcha penetrates all obstacles, which means for all the things that might get in the way of life and you think you can't do, for all the obstacles that a person might create in their own mind, Simcha enables you to transcend that and to rise above it. To finish with another particular anecdote, we found a wonderful maaser. Rav Zusha of Annapol was together with Rav Elimelech of Lizhensk. And they were walking along the street and they saw a Ukrainian policeman beating up on a Yid. So they did the most natural thing. They went and they jumped on the policeman. And they did whatever they had to do, but of course they got arrested as a result. And they end up in prison. And as they stand there in prison, Rav Zusha looks over at Rav Elimelech and he sees that he's looking very desperate, very depressed, very sad. And he says to him, "Why are you looking so sad?" He says, "Because look through the window over there. It's almost Shkia. Yeah. Sun is setting. And it happened to daven mincha. And there's a latrine, like a little toilet, right here in the middle of the prison. So I can't daven mincha. So I'm upset. I never missed a mincha." So Rav Zusha looked at him and said to him, "Hezekhaim, there's a halacha that says that if you are within Dalet Amos of something disgusting, you're not allowed to daven mincha." He goes, "Yeah." He goes, "When did you ever have an opportunity to keep to that halacha, to have to adhere to that halacha?" So Rav Elimelech heard this, suddenly that lifted him up. He grabbed Rav Zusha and he started to dance with Rav Zusha around the latrine. Here's an opportunity to fulfill something that he never had the opportunity to fulfill before. And as they're dancing around the latrine, the other drunken boors that were there with them together in that same prison all join in the circle and they're all dancing around the latrine. And of course, with all the commotion, the security guard comes along. He says, "My, what's going on over here?" So Rav Zusha and Rav Elimelech are in ecstasy, pointing to the latrine. And so all the boors are pointing to the latrine. And the security guard says, "The latrine, huh? I'll teach you." And he goes and he takes the latrine out of the prison. And Rav Zusha looks to Rav Elimelech and he says, "Nago daven mincha." And that's the point. That's the Simcha Peretz Geder. If you're in a state of Simcha, it changes the reality. The concluding words of the Raman Shulchan Aruch, Tayv, Lev, Mishte Tomid. Smiling is the way your neshama says hello for every single minute that you might not be b'simcha, or you're disgruntled, or you're displeased, you're losing 60 seconds of simcha. So as per David HaMelech, Samachti Barnimali, I'm rejoicing because at least when they're talking about the Beis HaMikdash, that was going to ensure that it will be built, we should be zeicha to experience simcha in our lives. We should choose to experience simcha in our lives, open our minds to recognize the brachas and the simchas in our lives, thus ensuring personal geula, and by extension, therefore, also collective geula, simchas eilam al-resham, the real, true, ultimate simcha, with the coming of Mashiach to Kainu b'mheiru b'yameinu.